Episode 117.
All right. So that's me, you, who?
Me.
All right. All right. I'm biting my head off. Okay. Let me know when we're starting.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, I'm Ian Boothby.
And welcome to the show, episode 117. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, I'm Ian Boothby.
And welcome to the show, episode 117, which is very meaningful because it adds up to 9.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Is 9 your lucky number or something?
It's divisible by 3.
Do you remember there used to be a show called Frady Cat? Are you familiar with Frady Cat?
But I just want to say 117.
Oh, I'm sorry. I derailed things right off the top.
Yeah, you did.
All right.
Because 117, when you think about that number,
yes.
You think, oh, that's like indivisible by anything but 117.
Well, that's the first thing I think.
You can't, or I shouldn't say indivisible. It's not divisible by anything but 117.
Yeah. A number divided against itself shall not stand. Abraham Lincoln said that.
Well, what a jerk.
By the way, happy President's Day.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Is that today?
No.
It's tomorrow.
No, it's already happened.
I think it came early. Oh, I think they divide it now. Because Lincoln's is like the teens in the teens of February.
Mm-hmm.
And George Washington, with whom I share a birthday on the 22nd. So they kind of split the difference and put it in March.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. So this 117, you wouldn't think it was divisible, but it's divisible by 3. And you know how you know that?
Tell me.
Because it adds up to a number that's divisible by 3.
Which is?
9.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
So
1, 1 and 7 is 9.
All right. So your idea for getting more listeners to the show is more math.
Is math trivia. Yes.
You know what? I think you are the mathematician of
the
two of us.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I would just...
I only know 2 math tricks. One is easy ways to multiply by 11.
Oh, yeah. That's...
And things that are divisible by 3.
Which is you split...
That's it.
You split the 2 numbers and then you add them to
the
middle. So say it's 25. How do I multiply that by 11? Well, what's 2 and 5? That's 7. Put a 7 in the middle. That's 275.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. By the way, you also just got a phone call.
I just got a text.
Okay. Is this from your other podcast? Dave, are you seeing other podcasts?
This is from Millis.
Okay.
And she said,
stay on topic, father. Let Ian tell his Frady Cat story.
Okay. Yeah, what's this all about? Everyone's talking about Frady Cat today.
No. One's talking about Frady Cat.
It's been trending on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's a main hashtag on Twitter today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Frady Cat.
Okay. But you know what? I'm just trying, buddy. I'm doing my best.
Well, you
know. It's 117 episodes. I've clearly run out of things to say, like around episode 51.
Yeah.
All right.
You're number 2.
Now, by...
Why try harder?
Exactly. Yeah. More numbers.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought this up was... Now, I forget the name of the company. I think it's like Leon Schlesinger or something. Not Leon. That's wrong. That's Merry Melodies.
Yeah.
But it's some fella. And it's the person who did the Archie cartoons. And Sabrina and all of those.
Okay.
And the terrible Batmans and Tarzans and what have yous. Okay.
And his company, it was just a guy who did it.
It wasn't just a guy. He had a company, yes, and other people. It wasn't just one guy drawing as fast as possible till his arm fell off. So
Richard Nixon.
Yes, it was Richard. What?
Yeah. It was President's Day.
Yeah, he had a cartoon called Enemies List, and on it he would kill one of his enemies in cartoon form every episode. So anyway, on Frady Cat, why I brought up the number 9 was they had clearly run out of ideas by this point.
Yes.
And Frady Cat, the concept behind Frady Cat was he had lived his 9 lives, and he was on his 9th life. And if he said any number, so say he said it's like 7, his 7th life would show up and try to help him. Like in the 7th life, he was a pirate. It made no sense because the first life was like a caveman. And it's like, how long have you been alive? This makes no sense at all unless you're traveling through. Anyway, but if he said the number 9, a cloud would show up with lightning bolts that would try to murder him. So his 9th life was trying to kill him. And philosophically, it was a very strange show.
That seems familiar. And yet not familiar.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But just hearing the number 9, that made me think of that.
Okay.
Also makes me think of the Beatles song.
I was just going to say, it makes me think of Revolution 9, which reminds me to tell people that we have a different podcast.
That's better than this one.
That's better than this one. That's called Completely Beatles.
Frankly, I'd say stop listening to this one right now.
Stop Sneaky Dragon.
Go to the other one.
Go to iTunes, look up Completely Beatles, spelled C-O-M-P-L-E-A-T-L-Y.
Oh, even you can't do it.
I had a
boy. This is the problem. Yeah.
Well, I started thinking, does it completely Beatles as in pleats, but then when I was thinking that, it made me stop spelling.
Adding and spelling are your two problems.
That's my two problems.
Actually, if you go to the most recent Completely Beatles, which I think we're talking about Rubber Soul.
Yeah.
We do discuss your problem with math on there, ironically.
That's true.
And then you start this show with full on math.
Full on math. It's called overcompensating.
That's right.
That's right. That's why I drive a big pickup truck with, you know, eight-foot wheels.
Yeah, 8-inch wheels. You're adorable.
I'm undercompensating.
You're adorable. Now, it's a lot of 8-inch wheels, because that take for a pickup truck, you need at least like 6,000 of those 8-inch wheels to carry it.
Exactly.
But, you're just puttering along,
It's called undercompensating.
Yes. Oh.
I'm so confident.
Interesting. Someone undercompensating. Yeah. I'm going to get a really terrible car.
Yeah. I used to drive an orange Yaris. You know, it's this tiny little hatchback. You know, undercompensating. Yeah.
You're having a midlife triumph.
I'm having a midlife triumph. That's right. What do I need to show up for?
Things are great.
I don't need a truck that goes underwater.
Speaking of things that are great.
Cheese.
Pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the middle of the Olympics still. By the time you're listening to this, the Olympics will be wrapping up. But today, something good happened for Canadians.
Happened good today for Canadians,
There we go. Dave knows. I've been busy doing other things. Dave's been at work, but
that
apparently
is the worst
not...
thing to say during the Olympics.
What's that?
That whole thing.
What whole thing? Well, I've been at work?
Well, just if you say to someone... oh boy, we're shooting good in the Olympics right now. Hey, by the way, that Heather Moyes.
I thought me saying that I was employed was a bad thing.
That Heather Moyes and stuff are doing, and then the person goes, "Oh, are the Olympics on? Oh, come on, don't be a dick."
What?
Or are the Olympics on?
What? I'm working. I don't have time to look at things.
That's fine. Sure.
But I'm clearly a dick. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know they're on, though. You're talking about it. I'm just talking about other people.
I don't know. Here's what Olympics. I know. Yeah. I do know there are Olympics that are on. And I do know that I will hear people going, woo, outside.
Yeah.
And when I hear them going,
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn down our mixer so that we're not blowing the microphones up.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
When I hear people going, woo, outside, I know Canada has done something hockey-wise, because that's
sure,
the only reason people
only
go
reason.
Woo.
Oh, no.
Okay, what else do Canadians woo over besides the weather?
Because we got a gold in curling. The ladies won in women's curling.
Okay, nice.
And not only, it's pretty impressive because she went undefeated through the whole
match. Last week, you were complaining about the women's curling, going, they're all rocky, smashy,
yeah,
smashy.
Smashy, smashy.
And you're like, what's that about?
This match was amazingly technical, like tons of careful shots. And she had to do this. To win the match, they were playing in Sweden.
Do they call it a match?
Yes, it's a match. And the Swedish skip, she kind of blew it. She did the wrong play. And so then the Canadian lady whose name, I know it's Heather, but I can't remember her last name. I'm sorry, everybody.
Okay.
I knew it when I was driving here, and now I've forgotten. It's stupid. But she did this absolutely perfect right on the button, which is what the center part is called in curling.
Mm-hmm.
And she just took out the Swedish rock and put hers in there, and it couldn't have been more centered on that button, like right on the home. That is just perfect.
So you're suspecting magnets?
I'm suspecting absolutely amazing talent that's just mind-blowing.
Okay.
And so I hope the men can carry that on. And then also today, another fantastic was women's hockey.
Right. Which takes place at the same time as curling on the same ice. Yeah. And that's what makes it really tricky is you've got to like get that rock through the hockey players.
Yeah.
Because we can only afford one rink, unfortunately.
You're silly.
Okay.
So then it was like, you know, it's kind of the problem with women's hockey is that there are two countries in the world that concentrate and put money into women's hockey.
Jamaica.
You wanna. Kokomo, is that what you're going
to
start singing?
Yeah, I was starting to sing some Beach Boys songs. Yeah.
Canada and the United States. Everywhere else, they don't seem to care about women's hockey.
Not even in some of the cold countries.
You would think so.
Your Greenlands don't care.
Well, Greenland is not really much of a hockey power. But you think like in Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden.
Norway. Russia.
What else are you going to do in Norway?
Russia. Come on. Like, they're hockey proud, right? But no, like when the Olympics were here in 2010, I went with Lisa and Phyllis. We went to a women's hockey game. And I knew it wasn't going to be the greatest hockey in the world because it wasn't Canada versus the United States. But it was United States versus Russia. So I thought, well, this has a chance of being pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They got a beef with each other.
12 to nothing later for the Americans. And the last part of the game, they weren't even trying. Like, if they scored a goal, it was because they hit it with their skate and it fell in. Like, honestly, there was just, once it was 10-0, like, you could just tell they were just like.
Now, the ice wasn't, like, slanted towards the Russian goal. Like, there wasn't.
Well, it could have been, but if it was, you know, they had a period where it was slanted the other way.
Ah, so, very good. Know, I understood. All right.
You know, so it's not, it's just, they just don't concentrate. And you could tell watching it, the Russian hockey players, you could see that a lot of them had come out of grass hockey.
The gulag. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's where they're going after the thing. But they came out of the out of grass hockey.
Ah.
Because in grass hockey, you play on the perimeter, and then you shoot towards the net, because because it's a hard ball and it's kind of a different sort of a game, right? In hockey, you tend to move. You want to be in the center part and kind of head towards the net en masse and you know, if you're passing towards people who are coming down the center. But when the way the Russians played it, everyone was on the outside. And so they're shooting the net, but there's no one near the net to take a rebound and shoot it, nothing. So they never really had any really good scoring chances. Meanwhile, the American team was just like potting goal after goal after goal. After a while, it became kind of boring. You know, even the Americans in the crowd were kind of like, yay, you know, or the ninth goal.
Now Canada with the gold, because the women have won the gold today.
So yeah, today it was Canada versus the United States, right, for the gold and silver medals.
Can I get a little history off you first?
Sure.
Now, Canadian women won gold in 2010 as well.
Yes, they did, yeah.
Now, have they got a history of winning gold, or is this a new thing?
Yes.
Yeah, they're
pretty... I mean, in women's hockey, we're a hockey power. I mean, okay. It's the same in men's hockey, obviously. But it's more one-sided in women's hockey. Really, it's just basically the Americans and the Canadians who have, you know, like really good teams that are playing. So it's pretty much a fait accompli, unless some, you know, amazing thing happens that the Americans and the Canadians are going to face each other, because they face each other at Salt Lake, where the ladies won. They face each other. The last one was...
You mean our ladies won?
Yeah.
Canadian ladies
won.
Canadian, they're ladies all ladies. Won. Okay.
I said our ladies won.
I thought you said the ladies won.
Our ladies won. And then, was the last one at Nagano, or was it Torino?
That's a very good question.
Well, anyway, whatever the last one that they won to, because there was, four hockey players on the women's hockey team who won their fourth Olympic gold at this event. And that's actually a record for any sport for those four ladies. Yeah. Amazing, right? Yeah. They played that long. Because if you think about it, there's only 4 years. I mean, there's 4 years between each Olympic event. So it's 16 years. Would it be 16 years or 12 years between?
It would be 16 years. 4 times 4.
Yeah.
Again, math. Gets brought up into this podcast, it just is oil and water.
First one, and then the next one would be 2, and then the next one. Yeah, okay, that's right. 16.
Right.
So then,
but then again, you're not starting on the first Olympics. You've been practicing before. I mean,
they play during the year and stuff like that. But even Cassie Campbell, who was doing the color for the game today and played for a long time, she also won many golds, she was saying that, you know, the ladies play... You know, they play a lot of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mostly to no one there to watch them, because it's not like, you know, professional hockey or whatever. They're, you know, and so they're just playing in these kind of to a small crowd, but they play because they love it. You know, and so when they come to the Olympics, it's such a great thing for them, because here they are. They're on the nation stage. They have a full arena watching them play. And it was an amazingly good game.
Why do you think that they don't attract a crowd during the year?
Because it's
not lack of skill.
It's, they're not as good as you know, it's not as good a game as the men's.
Do you think it's a lack of also hockey fights and stuff like that?
Well, they can't body check.
Okay.
They can't body check. Are they not allowed to fight?
I'm not sure.
Allowed to fight? I'm not too sure on that rule. There may be a ban on hockey fighting for ladies as well, because it's unladylike. Let's face it. And then,
they just throw hot tea at each other.
They just throw hot tea. Well, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, one thing, if you can't body check, if there's no, you know, when you take out a certain amount of physical, part of a sport, you can get kind of chippy in other ways where there's lots of sneaky hits and stuff like that.
Wouldn't that be frustrating, though, to you? Like, say you've won the gold 4 times and you still can't get a crowd in your own country to come and see you do hockey, which basically is the sport we love the most in this country. Mm-hmm. At that point, you have to throw up your hands and just go, come on, people. It's not us. It's you.
Yeah. But
it's you. Come on.
Part of it, though, is that the women's hockey team is made up of the best players from all kinds of different teams.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, ladies playing on the team, or women playing on the team that come out of the American college system that have been, you know, recruited from Canada and play down in the States, or ones play in the CIS here. And then they come together and play, you know, as one kind of super team. So you're seeing like the best of the best.
Oh, I got you. When you're watching that. Yeah, right? it just still feels a little strange to me.
It's a bit different. Well, I mean, like, you don't get...
Do we like hockey or do we not like hockey? Well, we like hockey, when guys are playing it, you know?
But even if you go to like the Giants here in town who play in junior,
right,
which is maybe two steps down from professional hockey, and a lot of those players are going to go on to careers in the National Hockey League,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're getting 5,000 people out to a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's in a big city like Vancouver with a large hockey loving population. You know, so that's an arena a third full.
Do you think also it's unpleasant to watch hockey? Like it's uncomfortable because it's cold.
No, it's the best. It's the best sport to watch live.
Is it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, why? I see people when they're talking about like, let's go to the baseball game down this because mm-hmm. we got a stadium over here.
Sure.
Oh, I'm gonna have a beer. I'm gonna have a hot dog. That sounds good. But you don't think like you're going to the hockey. Like, what do you have there? You have a hot chocolate and a frozen ass.
You have a beer.
you have a cold beer in the cold though. Yeah. It's not as. Yeah. Do you like that? Like a cold beer?
Well,
in the cold?
I don't drink beer, so what do I
Would
care?
You like a cold Coke?
Yes.
A cola in the cold?
Yes.
To make you colder?
It's not that. It's not freezing cold in there. It's just chilly.
Cold enough for ice?
It's chilly, yeah. But the ice is where the freezing is done.
Yeah.
They don't have ice in the stands.
I understand.
You're not sitting on a block of ice.
I understand, but it's got to be cold enough.
Cold. But it's not crazy cold. It's just it's chilly. It's not like you're 40 below. You know,
just wondering why.
You don't give a damn.
Yeah. I just like when people say we're going to do this, it just seems less appealing to them. You know, you take your shirt off.
Oh, no. Hockey is the best sport to watch live.
Okay.
For sure.
More than lacrosse.
Lacrosse is also very good live.
All right.
Lacrosse is another sport. Both of them have the same problem, though, which is both are really fast sports that develop, the plays develop outside of the camera, right? Like now with HD and having a wider screen, it is better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you used to watch it at the old TV size, the old Academy Standard size, that was hard to watch hockey. Now it's a little better because it's wider, so you can see more of the play develop. But you still don't get the true sense of the speed of the game unless you're watching it live. When you watch it live, then you understand, holy crap, these guys are going amazingly fast, you know, with sticks, shooting a, you know, rubber disc at each other. This is amazing. Like this is, if you just kind of stand back and look at it, it's amazing what's happening.
I want to do a quick plug for another podcast called Under the Influence that's on CBC Radio. It's a CBC Radio show, but it's also a good podcast.
It's a good show.
And they were talking about the marketing of the Olympics.
Mm.
And in there, they revealed something that I was like, oh, I didn't even realize this. But when the Olympics got brought back, the arts were involved. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get a gold medal for architecture. Mm. You get a gold medal for painting.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it became controversial because the person who designed the Olympic Stadium won the gold for designing the Olympic Stadium. And again, you throw up your hands and go like, come on.
It's so subjective anyway. It's hard to, I mean, even now, like sports like figure skating and ice dancing, you know, are always mired in controversy. I mean, there's a controversy right now about the scores for the ice dancing and why the Canadians who had a perfect technical short program, you know, why they fell so low in their mark, you know, and because no one can see what the judges' scores are, but everyone suspects that one of the judges basically threw the match and rated them very low in one aspect of their technical.
Right.
And the one that was rated on, which is called the fin step, because it was invented by a Finnish skating pair sometime in the 60s.
Okay.
Well, the guy who invented it, you know, he gave them a perfect score. He's like, well, there's no way that, you know, they obviously won this because they were perfect all through. And then there's like, what? They lost on this? They were perfect. Like, it was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
The American couple didn't do it as well. So, you know, there's some controversy about that because it's so subjective.
Yeah. You can't ever be fair with anything like that.
People are like, well, there should be timed elements and blah, blah, blah. But you can't. Like, it's
And then you have to lift a certain amount of weight.
It's an art, right? Like, you can't. So it's always going to have controversy, and that's just the way it is.
There's other anything like that, you got to go, like, it really doesn't matter. Like, I know it matters, but it also doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, when I see that, and it's like, well, they had this wonderful routine, and now they're scored poorly, and everyone's like, oh, it's the worst. And it's like, who cares? Because we all got to see it.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't get to, you know, they showed it. Yeah. You saw it, and it got seen by millions of people. You win, skater.
You tell that to the American hockey team who won silver today.
Okay, well, wait a second. That's a very different situation. That's how many goals. That's clear.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a running race. Who came through first? Boom, got it. But anything that's subjective, you know, your thing as an artist, you want your art to be seen. They got their thing seen,
it. I think that they've been around in that discipline long enough that they understand the variables of it. So it doesn't kill them the way it kills the people watching it who are just outraged, you know, that, you know, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir only got such and such, and they only won silver because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you know.
You can get upset, but yeah, but again, it must have been really weird, though, when it was like paintings. It was like, this one best painting.
Yeah.
Like the joke I always make for things like, and it's not a great joke, but like things like the Oscars.
Yes.
You know, when you say, like, that was the best picture. It's like, I always think, like, well, who won the Louvre's this week or this year at in Paris? Like, what's the best painting?
You know,
like,
well, there are prizes for art and stuff like that.
There
well.
Are, and so
you just don't
what?
Pay attention to it because it's not hyped the way. Yeah, the
but
Oscars
I don't also pay attention to that kind of stuff in the same way I don't pay attention to who wins for best picture because it doesn't fucking matter.
No,
you know, it's just like no, it's nice to have a thing nominated. The only reason for things like the Oscars are to promote films and to maybe make you see films you wouldn't normally see. And you're like, oh, what are these short films I've never seen? Oh, well, maybe I'll take a look at that. That's the only reason for them.
Yeah.
Once you've won the award, who cares? It doesn't matter. You know, it's they're all out there, and maybe you'll remember this had an award, maybe it won't, but the film still just speaks for itself. So, meh. Same with paintings. The painting continues way past its award.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Yeah.
So, with the
we've never been nominated, by the way, this show for anything. Yeah. Maybe we'll just bring that up right now. That
well, we got the Louvies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of like the Louvies, only it's not as nice. So, the women's hockey game today. So, the Americans went up 2-0. So, it was nail-biting time for every single person in Canada except for Ian, who was, quote-unquote, working.
Got rent to pay, people. I'm sorry.
Sure do. And so, fortunately, at work, we just turned on the
that's what
game
I figured.
On the computer.
You guys, yeah, working hard. Yeah.
People were calling during the game, like the last part of the game. Mm-hmm. People called us during overtime. Mm-hmm. I was like, can I call you back in a few minutes?
Yeah,
I'm really
you guys
busy.
Work for what, a medical supply company? Yeah, so people need their medical supplies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They absolutely positively
need
that sent out in 5
medical
minutes.
Supplies.
You're
no,
away.
Hockey. Here's
you're,
what we
you're
need.
You're getting a little carried away. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we need catheters.
We're not.
No.
We're not a hospital. We're not a hospital, everyone.
You just
we
supply
sell canes. We sell canes.
The hospitals with the stuff they need to save lives.
We don't sell hospitals.
Okay, very good.
We provide crutches and canes and things like that to people.
So there's old people out there caneless,
yes, that's right.
Walking through
there's
the snow.
There's absolutely no stores that have crutches or canes in them because
grab a stick, old man.
I didn't
I'm watching the hockey game.
I didn't answer the phone for 5 minutes, so every store in Canada emptied of all of its wheelchairs and rollators and walkers.
Yeah. Hey, father, come
seems
downstairs.
Unlikely.
The hockey game's on. I wish I could, son, but I have no crutch. What about that store that you buy them from? They're not answering the phone, son. Yeah. I will just stay up here alone and not see the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, I feel more sorry for the guy with no shoes.
Do you also sell shoes?
No.
Do you not? Orthopedic shoes?
No.
Okay.
No. That's a totally different discipline.
All right.
But anyway, so, yeah, people are calling during... Like, aren't you watching the game too, guy? Like,
no,
what the hell? It's
no,
weird.
They're working.
It's weird.
They have a job.
Oh, pshaw. Ridiculous. They're just being show-offs. Oh, you're watching the game. I'm sorry. I'm working. Really?
Yeah. What a way to show off.
Wait, really? Thanks, guy, for calling.
Check this out.
We know
out.
You're such
gonna,
a hard worker.
I'm going to make myself look like a real big shot by calling this guy right
exactly.
now. Watch what I'm going
to
do.
Hi. I actually even said that to the guy. I said, aren't you watching the game? Because, oh, I'm listening to it on the radio. No, you're not. Because then you'd know it's an overtime, and you'd be interested in knowing what was going to happen. But you know what? I'm really busy right now. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Bye.
Okay.
But anyway, so, yeah. So in the last, like, 3 minutes of the game or so, I was working. Well, this was going on. I actually was listening on the radio. So I was working for this part of the game.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I don't know the exact time. I watched overtime.
All right, good.
But but the Canadians scored. Mm-hmm. So then it got kind of exciting because it was 2-0 after the second period, 1-0.
Yeah.
Beginning of the third period, 2-0.
Right. You have a heavy heart.
Yeah. So you're worried. And so I was listening to the game on the radio and then they scored. So then I was so excited. Then I was up on a lift taking some boxes down. So I'm up about 30 feet in the air taking these boxes down. And then they scored again. They tied the game. But I was stuck up in the air. I couldn't get myself down to run and watch the replay. So I was a little choked. But I immediately, as soon as I got the boxes on, I lowered it down, ran into the office to watch the last part of the game. And it was pretty exciting. And so, yeah, I went, they scored, you know, so they tied the game, went into overtime, and it was a lot of fun. They called some penalties, which I don't think you should call too many penalties if you can help it during overtime. Although, to be fair, the Canadian penalty was for cross-checking someone in the face, which I think is one that you can't just ignore. You just you know what? Just let them figure, you know.
And to counter that, a Cossack came out and whipped one of the Canadians in the back.
We can talk about that. And then... And then there was this kind of cheap penalty that the Americans got. which I didn't think much of, but that evened it up. And then a Canadian got a breakaway, got dragged down, and they didn't call for a penalty. It should be a penalty shot, but for whatever reason, they didn't do that.
Okay.
And they gave the American team a penalty, and then it was 4-on-3, and then there was lots of fancy passing around the puck, and the Canadians scored. And then you felt so bad for the Americans. Like, you were hoping for the Canada winner. Like, yeah, Canada, woo, Canada, Canada. And then they score, and you're like, we scored, and everyone's cheering. And then you watch, look at the Americans. And we're like, this one lady, she just, or one girl, she just fell to the ice, like just fell on her knees and just dropped, you know, just put her head in the ice. The goalie threw away her stick, so upset.
Because she got a silver.
And yeah.
A silver.
Because here's the thing.
Stinking, lousy. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Silver.
What are
werewolf. You didn't realize that. Best, and it burns her to hold it.
What are the two best medals to get in that situation? Gold and bronze. If you get gold, you won your game.
Yeah.
If you get bronze, you won your game. Mm-hmm. If you get silver, you lost the game. So it's a really hard medal to get
it's
in that
a
situation.
A lot of other wins to get
you,
to that
you
lose.
Just yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of win, a lot of effort, and a lot of work winning that thing.
Then you get silver.
Just to get nothing at the end of it.
Not nothing.
Because that's what it seems
silver.
Like. That's what it seems like. Sorry.
Well, then you're wrong.
You should have seen the tears. I'm not me. I'm not talking about me. I didn't get a silver. I'm talking about those ladies who were all crying.
Okay.
And were tears pouring. You know, they just.
That's fair. It's emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. But they're not losers.
Maybe
by
in a year.
Means.
Maybe
they
in a
got
year.
A silver medal
maybe
in the
in a year,
Olympics.
Maybe in a year they'll look at it that way. But right now they
remember
not.
Last week we were talking about the announcer who was saying that person's Olympic dreams are over.
I hear you.
You made it to the Olympics.
He made it to the Olympics,
and you got a silver medal. That's fine. That's more than fine.
No.
And if you think a silver medal is shit, then you shouldn't be in the Olympics, frankly. Then this ain't for you. If you're know, if this ruins your life, like seriously, like I get that there's tears tonight, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if this really is like burning your heart forever, you shouldn't have been doing this. This ain't the job for you.
You should be, because that shows a
competitive
drive.
No, that's a mental illness.
No, that
mental
shows
illness.
But you don't like sports that much, and you never played them.
No,
very much,
I just
right?
it's not to do with
because we're not competitive people. Like we don't even understand it. Like, when we played sports...
I am competitive
we
in
were
a very
the worst.
Different way, but yes.
Yeah,
okay.
But you are competitive in a different way. When you played worse, though, or when we played sports with teams, we were the worst people on the team because we weren't competitive the way that the other people were.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, is this a game? They're like, fucking no, man. This is a fucking... This is not just a game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win this game. And they're so mad at us. For
because
like,
if you win, what happens?
Whatever. They won.
And what happens?
They won.
So then why?
They win.
And so if you don't win, what happens?
Nothing.
That's right. No difference. Exactly. Nothing either way.
That's why we are the worst teammates.
No,
in the
we're
world.
Not.
That's
no.
Why
whenever
suck.
I'm no, I've
oh my God.
I've no. I'll
you
tell
didn't
you why.
Understand.
I do
you didn't understand.
Because I've competed for a lot of stuff, and I've like real. Okay, here's the thing. It's the old saying. Care and really care. Like when you're competing,
sure.
Really care.
Did you care when you played soccer in high school?
Well,
when you played soccer in gym, did you
care? No, but I competed in other things.
Okay.
You know, care but don't mind. That's the trick for not going crazy. You care passionately about the thing you're doing and do the absolute best you can and work yourself bloody for the thing you're doing. But if you don't win it, you don't mind. You know, you're like, oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I've come right up to the edge of things and I've won big things and I've lost big things at things that would have like changed things for real. But yeah, you can't like let it like stop you from going back and doing it again. Cause the next day, well, maybe not the next day, but the next week you're practicing again. You're working for the next thing.
Oh,
so
sure.
You can't like, you know, be there with like blackened heart and like still be vomiting in the morning out of shame. You can't because you got to get back on the damn ice.
I know. There's that aspect too.
I'm not sure you're familiar with this term called get back on the horse, Dave. Do you know that term?
Get
back on the horse? You know, it's like, so you fall off the horse. You're like lying on the ground. Well, I'm done. That's over.
Well, the very first time I ever rode with Lisa
on
a horse, the horse decided to gallop because I gave it the wrong signal and I fell off onto the fence. And broke the fence with my groin. And I got back on the horse.
Right.
Literally.
But before that, you were on the fence about the whole thing.
Pretty much. Actually, I wasn't on the fence. I was through the fence because I broke it. I broke the fence with my leg, my inner leg. And but, you know, you can't just lay there on the floor crying. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. That is another part of sports that people who don't have that aspect can't get, which is that ability to put it behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you talk to Roberto Luongo, let's say, the Canucks goalie, after, you know, he absolutely pooped the bed in the fifth game of the Stanley Cup series when they should have won and beat Boston and been carrying the Stanley Cup through Vancouver and the rest of Canada or wherever they're going to go with it.
Right.
And, you know, if you'd asked him, you know, like even a day after that game, he was like, you know, it's just a game. Like, there's another game tomorrow. Yep. So, you know, we'll do, and that's a big part of that. You know, if you don't have that in you, if you don't have that ability to put it behind you, then you're not going to be good. I mean, you have to have that crazy competitiveness.
Yeah.
That's absolutely, you know, seems insane. Mm-hmm. But you also have that ability to, yep, once it's done, it's over.
Yep.
On we go.
Care but don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, that's true.
So you're agreeing with me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Man, it seemed like you were arguing with me. And yet, we're in complete agreement.
But you were like,
strange.
You were like, oh, no, these women should be laughing and slapping each other in the back because they won the silver. That's the greatest thing ever.
You all just listen to me, and that's exactly what I said. Yeah, that's completely.
That's kind of what you sounded like.
It's easy to win arguments when you just make up stuff.
No, that's what you said. Like.
Put on your fancy hats and go for tea. Gallop around.
Dear listener, am I right? Am I right? Did Ian not sound like they should be jumping, doing hop?
I'm saying you can be sad in the moment.
Dancing around.
But if for the rest of your life, you've gotten a blackened heart over this, then this ain't for you. This isn't a healthy thing for you to be doing.
No, I think when they got back to the hotel, they threw it into their luggage. They threw their silver medal into their suitcase, disgusted with it.
Right.
But, you know, in a month, it'll be hanging proudly somewhere.
And as we said before, there's orgies in the Olympic Village. So they went to the orgy to be polite.
To be polite.
You know, but they
their heart wasn't in it.
No, but here's what they That's get right. to do. They get to go to the silver orgy. They don't get to go to the gold orgy. You know, and it's, you know, some of the condoms are like already opened. You know, and there's like a bowl of jelly beans there, but most of them are black. You know, it's just like not great. There's
black jelly beans.
There's like off-brand soda pop. Mm-hmm. You know, someone comes in with some beer. It's not great, but the gold one is fantastic.
It's not even off-brand. They just bring in all the stuff that was in the gold party that had been left open for a day or two. They bring that over and they put it in. So you're like this pop.
Yeah, the day before.
And you're like, you open it and it goes, tss, and you're like, oh, it's probably not too bad. And then you taste, you're like, oh, how flat can this be? There is so much.
Yeah, a cigarette butt is like floating in it.
Oh, that's the worst.
Terrible.
That's
the worst. No. If you're getting the old orgy pop, there are worse things that could be in there.
But you know who is allowed into the gold party?
Who's that?
The bronze medalists.
Are they like the eunuchs who get to watch?
It looks kind of gold. It looks fairly gold.
So because it's so dark, you can actually
get away with it. You're like, woo, over here, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Once again, I say like when the vampires or the werewolves attack, who's going to be happy to have silver? I'll tell you who. Mm. People are killing the werewolves. And the other ones are going to be eaten by vampires and werewolves.
I guess when that impossible thing occurs, they will be happy.
Some people think things are impossible. Before we came up here,
can we just say one more thing about the Olympics?
I'm sorry. Half your show. You can go nuts. Go ahead, say your
because
thing.
I think that there's another part of the more important, like the winning and stuff like that, are kind of the stories behind the winnings. Do you know what I mean? Like there's that Swiss cross country skier who waited like for 28 minutes or something like that for the last skier to cross the line so he could congratulate him. Like he won the gold.
Oh, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah. Okay. Like to me, those are like the most fun stories. That's the part I really like. There's another story about a Canadian cross-country skier. I might have been in biathlon, one of those kind of cross-country, you know, cross-discipline sort of ones. And this Russian skier, his ski broke and he couldn't carry on. So this Canadian, he had extra skis. Because he was kind of like the second for another Canadian skier. So we climbed up over this thing and got down and gave him a ski so the guy could carry on.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. That's great.
Now, how does that jibe with your silver kind of idea and gold idea? Like the drive to win versus the good sportsmanship.
Sure.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Do those two, can those exist simultaneously?
I think so. I hope so.
So in say it was the women's hockey today, and something happens to this is a dumb one, but like the skate of one of the players, and like the Canadian helps them in some way, would that be okay, or is it like, damn it, you've got to win this thing? Mm. This is all win.
The competition between those two teams is so deep and so entrenched. It's
so different than the other.
Yeah, because it's a team. It's not individual.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you're not just doing it for yourself or for, you know what I mean? Like if you choose to do that for yourself, that's one thing than if you do it as a
team.
But
you're saying that you prefer the stories, the good stories, the working together kind of stories and overcoming that kind of thing than thrill of you won, you're the winners, you're win. Okay.
Well, you know, I also love Canada winning gold in women's hockey.
Of course you do.
And, you know, when they win in men's hockey, hopefully that will also be great. You know, and that's tomorrow, that the men versus the Americans. The crazy thing is it's the Canadians versus the American in men's hockey only for the semifinal. That's deciding who will go on for the gold. So whoever loses tomorrow will play in the bronze medal match with either Sweden or Finland, who are also team, you know, together. So what's interesting is two countries that really don't like each other in, you know, in terms of hockey history are going to be playing each other, the Swedes and the Finns and the Canadians and the Americans. So, but anyway, the other story was that I really enjoyed was Alexander Bilodeau, who's a, or Bilodeau, is a Canadian, he skis in a peculiar discipline where you ski down through moguls.
Okay.
You know, moguls are like the big bumps that you kind of have to ski between. And then you jump and then you do some sort of elaborate gymnastical turning
flip,
in the air.
Yeah.
And then you land and then you get scored on that and you win or you lose. So he won gold. And when he won, he, ran over and his brother has cerebral palsy. So at 2010, his brother was able to stand and be by the netting. And so he was able to come in or he was actually able to, but at this one, he's now in a wheelchair. It's progressed that far. And so Bilodeau ran over and grabbed him and pulled him up over onto his side and carried him around. He was so happy. So,
oh, that's so sweet.
I know. It's just amazing. You're watching and you have tears in your eyes because it's so great.
Yay.
Yeah.
That to me is the, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Hooray.
That's what it should be about.
That's what it always should be about. I mean, to me, like the best part about the Olympics is it's, I mean, and people complain, obviously they do, about like, it's in China, we shouldn't have it in China. It's in Russia, we shouldn't have it in Russia.
Yeah.
And there's arguments to be made for that. But I love the idea that it's just all these countries getting together and it's just something that we all do every 2 years, you know, and that's just great. There's nothing like that. That doesn't exist, you know.
I know,
in any other way.
It's fantastic. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it yesterday and I was kind of thinking because of the stuff like what's happening with the Pussy Riot and stuff like that where – and the gay
– Why don't you explain what happened with Pussy Riot?
Okay. Well, Pussy Riot is like a kind of a group of sort of punk you call them performance artists who a few years ago did a concert. They broke into a church, I think during a service, and performed a kind of punk mass trying to save Russia from Vladimir Putin in this, you know, main cathedral in Moscow for the Orthodox. And what an unfortunate thing that's happened with the church in Russia is that, you know, this church that so bravely, you know, held their faith through the years of Soviet rule, through all this persecution, you know, the dynamiting of churches, the imprisonment of Christians, you know, has now become this bully force in Russia. You know, once they, you know, it's just a typical thing that once people get, you know, this close to power, they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And so now the church has become closely intertwined with this horrible totalitarian state. And so Pussy Riot were protesting against this. And so to prove that they were wrong, they were punished for 2 years and sent into hard labor, basically.
Yeah.
Because there's still, the Gulag system still exists in Russia. So these young women were sent into this horrible system. And if you don't know it, it's terrible. And I would advise anyone to, it's a long read, it's a long slog. It's three huge books, Alexander Solzhenitsyn's The Gulag Archipelago. But even if you just read the first book, it'll give you a good enough taste of how terrible it was that you either, you know, you can read the next two or just, well, that's enough. I've got a taste of it. It was awful. But so luckily for them, because the Olympics were coming up and Putin was, is it, how do you say his name? I don't know.
Yeah, Putin.
Putin was trying to, you know, suck up to the rest of the world. He granted an amnesty to prisoners. And so they were released. So they actually didn't serve their full time. So, of course, you know, here's this big thing going on. Everyone wants to protest at large events because it draws attention. So they're down at Sochi and they're getting horsewhipped by, you know, policemen, I guess, or militia there, which is just outrageous. I mean, beyond the pale. The only thing I can say in defense is that when I was watching it, it looked like there are other armed people stopping the whipping. I don't know if you noticed.
I just saw
a little bit of the clips of it. And it looked like there are other armed people who came in and kind of were like, you know, grabbing the arms of these people whipping them. Like kind of, you know, that's enough of this, right? Which is a good thing.
Now, are they grabbing the arms of those people because they're being videotaped?
I don't know.
Or
it didn't look like it.
Just
trying to stop them. I don't know. Because, you know, who knows? When in that situation, I don't know what, if you know.
Now, what were Pussy Riot protesting at that point? Or do we know that?
I don't. I just think, you know, just the general horribleness that is Russia at this time.
Now, should countries like this be able to host the Olympics? Should we be able to put that aside? Or does this kind of thing, to me, I think this kind of thing does shine a light on the bad stuff. And so, you know, you really can't.
I mean, yeah. Would we have known about these things going on in Russia as much as we do?
Or not as
would
as
many people know?
Not as much as.
Would as many people know? I mean, there's people obviously who are very socially active who might be aware of these things.
Right.
and others who aren't, whose attention has been drawn to the, you know, who are seeing these things in their Olympic feed on Twitter or whatever, they're seeing mentions about this and are aware of
the argument being that you're rewarding this country when they're doing some terrible things. The argument on the other side being you're shining a spotlight on these things, so you should, and we should put these things aside.
And you're not.
I mean, you say you don't want Russia, then you're like, how was China?
Yeah.
China's done some bad shit. Now who are we doing? How was America? Well, America was torturing. How about the you really get into the who's going to be able to host it,
and then
that becomes New Zealand forever.
Then I was thinking about it. You know, it's sort of the thing that Christ said when someone asked him about taxes, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Mm-hmm. And you can say the same thing about the removing the, you know, if you remove the political from any, you know, just because the politics really have nothing to do with the Olympics itself. I mean, in its essential self. Obviously, there's all kinds of politics around it because people
huge politics
because
around
it. Because we're political animals, right? That's what people
are. Well, because the Olympic Committee is political.
Because we're political people. That's just the way it is.
Right.
It's a country is fighting. It's vying for power within this big organization.
The athletes are not political.
Exactly.
But the
isn't that the essence of it, the athletes?
Well, it's like, basically the problem is the fruit in the bowl is sweet and good. Mm-hmm. The bowl itself is made of poison. And so it's tough, and sometimes the poison will get onto the fruit.
Sometimes, but not that often, let's face it. I mean, I think most of the athletes, if you saw the athletes in the Olympic Village, you would know that, you know, how close they are as people who compete against each other and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a totally different feeling for the athletes than it is for the politicians and all that BS that's happening around this situation.
It almost feels like, and maybe this is a terrible, terrible, terrible example. It almost feels like the thing where people say, you know, you support the troops. And of course you support the troops.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily support the people who are sending the troops to do the things that you don't support.
Yeah.
But the people who are actually doing the fighting are noble and good and are protecting
deserve
you.
Deserve our support and not being spat upon when they come home.
That's
airport.
Right.
The same way that when athletes come back for the Olympic Games, where they're competing in a country that has a hateful ban against homosexuality, hopefully people aren't going to spit on them because they happen to compete in that country.
No, I don't think that's
But you know what I mean, right? Yeah. Like, you can't blame them for that. You know, and for those people, for these athletes, they've trained their whole lives to shine for this one moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nowhere else in the world where people are paying the kind of attention that we are paying to the biathlon.
Right.
Like, no one is thinking about people skiing and shooting except for the Olympics. The rest of the year, or the rest of the 4 years, no one cares.
Yeah, and the argument, you know? The argument there, of course, is your sport isn't as important as human rights. So if there is a balance, and like, you don't get to do your biathlon, but we do get to make a statement, and you know, we turn things around for gays who are being put in jail for being gay. You know,
it's not going to make a difference, but okay, I guess.
You don't know. I mean, this public, you know, a good public shaming sometimes does do something.
Yeah.
Sometimes
the communists left Afghanistan right away when America boycotted the Moscow Games in 1980. Oh, they left right away.
Well, nothing.
They just walked right away. They're like, you know what? Yeah. You guys are right. We feel ashamed.
Nothing happens. We're leaving. Nothing happens right away.
We're leaving.
Nothing happens right away.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the shaming begins, sometimes politicians respond to it. You know, politicians want to be loved. Politicians want to be elected.
Yeah.
And what makes you get elected over and over again is like public support. And the public ends up turning, you know, because, you know, the world isn't really having anything. You guys are backwards rubes.
Yeah.
You know,
the world doesn't really affect it that way. It's people within the country. Yes. But the world itself, I don't think has as much of an effect.
Yeah. Sometimes the world I think we're getting more and more connected. Definitely. You know, the amazing thing to me is when you see people being interviewed, I mean, they've been doing a lot of stuff on The Daily Show recently where, you know, they're interviewing people on the street who have, and the homophobia is like, so, whoa. But then you realize, well, wait, this was us like 40 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, you know, and it's just like, you can't expect, I mean, well, you can.
Yeah.
Like, there's two sides. One, you can't expect them to immediately be as socially evolved as the country that supports this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you also can't endorse it.
No.
So when someone's saying, you know, you got to think of the children because, you know, homosexuals are pedophiles.
Yeah.
No, we figured that shit out. The science is in on that. You can't. Yeah. I mean, you can. I see why you think that. But here's some proof that that isn't at all the case. And you don't want to say, you dumb son of a bitch. But get those people out of jail because this is ridiculous. Did you see the thing on The Daily Show with Jason Jones? in Russia talking to the woman who quoted Angel?
No.
Okay. So he basically was something I like that Jason Jones is doing. Who's a Canadian? Okay. You know, being a Canadian, we always have to mention if someone is Canadian.
I don't know who
Canadian.
He is, but okay.
He's quite a funny fellow.
I figure he's a correspondent on The Daily Show. But
he is a correspondent
on The
Daily Show.
I do not watch The Daily Show. So.
But he's doing a thing now with his segments that is almost like a commenting on the segments themselves.
Okay.
Like he'll do a segment and go like, okay, well, now's the part where I set you up with simple thing, and then we twist your words and we do this kind of thing, but let's not do it. Why don't you just say what you really think? And then that person says the things and they hang themselves with that.
Yeah.
So his thing was, he was talking to a politician who was saying all the stuff about you can't let gays be in public because they're going to affect children and this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying to Jason that, you know, if you were a parent, you know, you understand, it's like, I am a parent. Well, one day you'll agree with me. I know very few things, but I know one thing, and I will never, ever agree with you. And they went, you know what normally we do with this? I'll interview a guy like you, then I'll go to the street, we'll find out the people themselves are great. So he starts interviewing people on the street, and it's like, whoa, bad. Like, everyone's really homophobic, except
yeah.
there's one woman who's holding a rainbow flag.
Yeah.
And they go up to her and ask her, like, you know, sir, you know, why are you doing this? And she went, there's a show called Angel in America.
Yeah.
And they had a quote on that show, and the quote was, because if nothing we do matters, all that matters is what we do. And then they showed the actual clip of David Boreanaz, and it was like, holy shit. and he just goes, I just have to hug you. And he just had, and it was one of the sweetest moments, and it was just beautiful. And it was like, this, you know, mm-hmm. Angel's not the worst show in the world, but it's like, it just was so incredibly touching. And then she later on, wrote a little thing about, you know, how she was a Joss Whedon fan and all this other stuff. And
nice.
Yeah. And yeah, so a show like something like Buffy, which has, you know, these kind of, pro-gay characters in it.
Yeah, for sure.
What's that matter? Well, now you got an old lady in Russia who's got a rainbow flag when everyone, you know, and is standing up to this bullshit. It's like, yeah, it kind of stuff matters. And it was like, yeah, it was neat. I'll try and find that clip and put it up on our Facebook page.
Ah, that's very interesting. But once again,
you don't care for Angel.
No. The counter argument to that, the counter argument
is in Supernatural. They say
no one would be paying attention to that if it wasn't, the Olympics weren't there and the Daily Show wasn't there for the Olympics. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Daily Show would not be in Russia otherwise.
Well, I think, you know, a group like Pussy Riot would still be doing what Pussy Riot is doing.
Well, actually, if the Olympics weren't happening, Pussy Riot would still be in jail. But yes.
Yes.
They would still
be. There's a good example there. I mean, we did know about Pussy Riot before the Olympics.
Sure, of course, yeah.
So there will always be some spectacle.
We knew they were rotting in a gulag.
Fuck. They still have gulags
and
Cossacks.
Isn't it amazing?
It's just like.
Yeah. Well, Cossacks are a very proud tradition of horribleness.
Yeah. Let's be a little less proud.
That's right. Pogroms but you know, then they were betrayed terribly by the British. So yeah, they have their grudges. They have their feelings. Their feelings were hurt.
Well, you should probably listen to our other podcast, Cossack Talk.
Yes,
where that's basically
all things Cossack.
All things. Well, it was originally called All Things Cossack, but then All Things Considered talked to us and went, "That's too close."
Yeah.
So we had to change it to Cossack Talk.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing that one right after we finish our Completely Beatles podcast,
because right.
we can't
splitting.
Do all of them. There's also too much crossover material.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
And as we know, you work for a living and also watch The Daily Show every day. So there's only so many hours in the
day. And you do not work for a living except for that brief period of time where you're up in the air 30 feet. When you can't not.
Yeah.
You can't slack off. That's the one time.
Yeah.
So your bosses have to be like, get Dave up in the air. Mm-hmm. It's the only time
that's
know he's going to be working.
That I'll be working, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, I don't do anything at the company. I'm the sole employee at a company with two bosses. So really, I don't do anything there at all.
That sounds like
you're
a sitcom.
Right.
My two bosses,
my
and
two
you're
bosses,
the one guy.
I'm the one guy. Well, you know, my lady boss, my bossette. She's hilarious.
I love that band from the 90s, Bossette.
Bossette, yeah.
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 You Got the Look? Was that their song, I think?
Yes, that's right. You Got the Look. It's a scowl.
Yeah, at the one employee who's just listening to the radio. Like, get him 30 feet in the air.
Quit listening to the radio.
Yeah.
You can listen to it anywhere. It's a radio. Come on. Yeah. She doesn't like that either.
She doesn't like the radio.
Doesn't like the radio on in the warehouse. No. She'll come in and turn it off.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Now, I was trying to tangent a little earlier. When I first saw you today, first I didn't get your message that you were here.
When you first met me, I was walking towards you and the sun was shining through my hair and I looked like a glorious angel.
Yes, you did.
You mentioned that.
You said, I've got great tidings for you.
That's right.
And I had two boxes of Tide.
I said,
and said, wash your clothes.
I said, fear not, for behold, I bring tidings of great joy. Yeah. And I was carrying two bottles of joy. That's right. And you're like, oh, Dave, these puns, now they're becoming visual. So yeah, you saw me.
Sorry. I'm just thinking of those poor shepherds, and like an angel shows up, and you know they got sheep to tend. Mm. They don't need to deal with this.
Yeah.
And then like, what's the okay? So wait, sorry. Let me just go with the shepherds.
Sure.
All right. So the angel goes, "I've got great tidings, great joy." Now, what happens to the shepherds at that point? Do the shepherds go spread the word?
Well, they actually went. No, they didn't spread the word. They went down and visited the stable.
In the manger.
Yeah, not in the manger, but they went and visited the stable where the manger was.
Oh, okay, very good.
It wasn't that big a manger that everyone could climb into with baby.
Did they bring all their sheep with them?
I doubt it. They probably left them in the...
They just left the sheep up there?
Yeah.
And then when that was done, they went back to their sheep?
All the wolves had eaten the sheep. Shit. The lion was supposed to lie down with
then,
the lamb.
And then where, you found...
Who brought the lions here so soon?
I just figured, here's what I think happened then. And then you see like the wolf, and the wolf's got like this angel outfit. And it was like, very smart wolf.
But then he
like,
turned around and there's a sheepdog, and the sheepdog just punched him right into the face. Morning, Ralph.
I love it. Yeah, the wolf tried the sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Then went to the shop and went, I can give you this angel outfit.
Love it.
And just like, and
I
then.
See how
and,
this is going to work.
Yeah, that's great. Mm. And then the shepherds go down and just go, who's there? Well, the angel said the Messiah's here. Oh, the Messiah, eh? Yeah. And that's what started the whole thing off. This one wily wolf.
That's one wily who could speak English, not English, but could speak human.
Now you're assuming that the wolf could speak English.
Not English,
I'm assuming
Aramaic.
That the shepherds could speak wolf.
Could speak Aramaic.
Aramaic wolf?
Aramaic wolf.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah. All right, so I do not get your correct message. Like, I don't get your message on my phone.
Yeah.
Then I look down and see three messages. I'm like, oh, geez. So I run downstairs.
Yes.
And in our building here, there's a little bookstore. And you're in the bookstore. And you're in the comic book section.
Yes.
Even though you're a grown man, everyone's giving you the stink eye.
Wearing my beanie.
Yeah, the children are standing off to the side, like waiting to be safe to enter that section.
Yeah, that's right.
And I
was there wearing my propeller beanie.
And what did you get?
I found two John Stanley hardcovers, one Melvin Monster and the other one Nancy, based on the Ernie Bushmiller strip, which I bought them more out of like reflexive need to be a collector because the first Fan Expo, I found a collection of 13 going on 18, which is a collection, was sort of John Stanley's answer to Archie.
Mm-hmm.
And those sort of stories where it's teenagers doing up to hijinks. And so... So I bought that one. So I kind of felt like I needed to get these other books in order to have the complete John Stanley, because I also have a bunch of Little Lulu books at home. I have the Russ Cochran. You know Russ Cochran, who did those slipcase hardcover collections of like EC Comics?
Okay, yeah.
And they're like these big giant books and big slipcases. Wonderful books. But they did some, they also did Scrooge, like the Donald Duck and Uncle Scrooge. And then they did some Little Lulu ones. So I have some of the Little Lulu in those collections as well. And so, yeah, I'm a fan of John Stanley, so I had to get them.
Now, Melvin Monster, did that come before or after Adam's Family and that kind of thing?
I think it may have come before, actually. I'm not too sure. When did the Charles Adams cartoons start?
Yeah,
I don't know the timeline, so.
I'm just wondering who started that whole monster, almost suburban monster situation.
Yeah, I don't know. You could be right. It might have been an attempt to cash in on that. Because he was kind of looking for other things to do after he left Little Lulu.
Okay.
But he didn't entirely leave comics. So then he decided he was going to write some of these other ones. And so like with 13 going on 18, initially it was him writing and another artist illustrating. And then at some point he took over the art as well.
Okay.
And he had quite an appealing style. It's a much simpler style. It's kind of like Harvey Kurtzman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they could read Two-Fisted Tales and there'd be like these John Severin or the Davis...
Jack Davis,
yeah, or Wally Wood, whoever, doing these, you know, incredibly elaborate,
beautiful stuff.
And then there's Harvey Kurtzman, almost looks like you should be coloring them. You know what I mean? Like, I really like his stuff, but it's much more simple than the other guys. And so this is kind of the same. It starts off and it's, you know, has a nice kind of very professional, you know, I'm a professional cartoonist, blah, 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 look. And then we get to Stanley's much looser, but very appealing style. And What's also interesting about it is, unlike Archie, where, you know, basically the characters are these stereotypes and they fit into a box, and so you know exactly what they're going to do in each thing, and then everything kind of begins again. The next story begins again. Like, no one learns a lesson from what they do. Veronica doesn't say, well, I should stop being such a bitch to Archie because I'm driving him to Betty. She never thinks that, right? She just does this exact same thing in every story.
Yeah, there's sitcom archetypes that you Basically, here's a tip, by the way, of something I've done in when I'm writing things. If you're at a bit of a loss when you're putting your characters together, make them all the Archie characters. Just change the names, and almost it always works. You got your central character, you got your sweet character, you got your kind of bitchy character, you got your character who likes eating and decadence. You can make the Jughead character a drinker instead if you want. You're fine. Mm-hmm. You got your Reggie, and he's the troublemaker. Yeah. He's always like trying goading.
And wealthy.
You got your well, Reggie isn't wealthy.
He's not wealthy.
No, Reggie has more money than Archie, but he's not Veronica Rich.
Okay.
And then you might be thinking of Josie and the Pussycats, where Alexander and Alexandria, they're both rich. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you play those archetypes up.
I'm always mixing them up.
Boom. Well, they look a lot alike.
Yeah, you're right. So Stanley was a bit different. Like in 13 Going on 18, what's interesting is there's a continuity.
Mm.
And what's kind of fun is like
a la Luann character in modern day. Which is your favorite comic strip currently?
Currently. Well, I like the continuity to it. So I enjoy that element of it. So whereas I used to love For Better or Worse, now I really like Luann. And although I think For Better or Worse was a better strip overall.
I will agree with you.
It was funnier more often than Luann is. Luann kind of gets wrapped up in its own story and kind of forgets that, oh, we should have a joke here somewhere. But or if we do have a joke, it's a bit kind of a lame thing, you know, but it's also good.
And too many dummies for me in that one, whereas For Better or Worse, everyone seemed to be a bit smarter. Okay. And I prefer smarter characters in my comedy.
I don't know how dumb the Luann characters are, but anyway.
The Tiffany girl, I think she's a dummy.
But yeah,
I think Brad, the brother, bit of a dummy. Oh, he tries hard at his fireman's job, but he is none too smart.
Okay.
You know, and then, I think you got, the kind of stonery guy, he's a bit of a dummy. In the Luann.
You know what? There's more to it than that, though.
All right, deeper.
I'm deeper in it than
deeper
you.
Deeper into me.
I know the deep cuts.
Man. All right, fair enough.
So then, but what's interesting
is the Jughead, by the way.
13 going on. Yeah, he is. 13 going on 18 is when John Stanley wrote a comic book, he would divide. He had divided into sections, and then he would write that section every issue. So for instance, in 13 going on 18, you have a Val story, and then you have a friend. You have her friend's
story.
Now,
is Val the teenage girl?
There's
who's
two
the
teenage
lead?
Girls that are friends with each other. And one's called Val, and I can't remember the other girl's name now. I'm sorry. And so you have a Val story, and then you have another story about this girl, her friend. And then you have a story with them together. And then there's always a story of her friend when she's little.
Okay.
And who torments this other boy.
All right.
And so it's always her tormenting this boy. The same way Little Lulu, you would have a Little Lulu story. You'd have a Little Lulu with Fatty story. What was his name, Fatty?
Tubby.
Tubby story. And then,
are you thinking when he was with Fatty Arbuckle?
Yeah, Fatty Arbuckle.
She originally started with Fatty Arbuckle, then he had the controversial court case, and he got replaced with Tubby.
Yes.
And they lost their sponsorship with Coca-Cola.
You never invite an actress to your party whose name looks like rape. That was his mistake. Don't you think?
Okay.
When you look at her name.
How about a guy named Carson? Would that be okay?
Why?
Sounds like arson.
It does. Don't invite him to a bonfire.
Okay.
Because you know it's going to go badly.
All right.
But anyway, because her name is Virginia Rapp, RAPPE.
Mm-hmm.
Like her whole name just screams out to people who are looking at it. They're just like, I don't know why I feel this way, but I think he raped her.
And her first name was
sure
Virginia?
Why. I think so, yeah.
So virgin.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, that's bad all the way.
Virgin rape.
Yeah, it's not great. All right.
So you know what I'm saying, right? You seem kind of upset that I said that.
No, I'm trying to think I don't even want to get into this. It's fair enough. Go ahead.
So in Little Lulu, and then it would have the story with Little Lulu with Tubby. There'd be a Tubby story by himself, and then there'd be a story with Little Lulu and the neighbor, her kind of bratty next door neighbor boy, would always make her tell him a story. And so then she'd have a story that she'd tell. And I guess he did that because it made it easier for him to write so many books because he just had he already kind of knew he's locked into what each one would be.
Yeah.
And even though
freedom can really be a pain in the ass when you've got that much to do.
Sometimes. Yeah. But what's interesting with 13 going on 18 is the stories have a continuity. So there's not a reset every time. And so the characters kind of grow. And there's so Val gets a boyfriend. And she has an extra neighbor named Billy who she's always fighting with. But as the story progresses, you can see that, they actually kind of like each other. And you can see that a lot of what they do to each other is because they like each other. And they don't know it, though, because they've been next door neighbors for so long that they don't understand their relationship with each other. And it's really kind of interesting. It's quite good. Unfortunately, it didn't last as long as it should have. And so it kind of cut short. And so you don't get the full story. It's too bad because it would have been really interesting to see how it developed.
Neat.
I have not read the Nancy stories or Melvin Monster. I've read one Melvin Monster story in like an online thing. And I wasn't that impressed by it. But then I always think, well, I was reading on a computer screen, which is my least favorite way to read comics. So, you know, I like it slightly better than falling through the air from a plane while reading a comic book.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst way to read a comic book.
Unless you're reading like How to Make Your Own Parachute.
And that'd be helpful.
In comic form, yeah.
Oh, no. The worst way to read a comic book, sliding down a 50-foot razor and falling into a vat of iodine.
Wow.
Do you remember those jokes?
Yes. Yeah.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, we left those behind the 70s, didn't we? For a reason.
Not me.
Okay.
I still carry them around in my
heart. No, that's great. Now, the idea of a comic that kind of...
Can I just say one more thing about these books before we go on?
Oh, you can say five more things. Go ahead.
Because they're designed by Seth. Seth, who's Drew Palookaville, you know, has...
You might want to clarify. They are being designed by a modern artist nowadays. Yeah. You're talking like the covers.
The covers of the Drawing Quarterly books that have been
Contents are old-timey.
Yeah.
The covers are new-timey by Seth,
yeah.
who, again, I have to say, is a Canadian.
Is a Canadian.
Continue.
But what I find, I don't like his design sense. I don't know what happened. At some point, it's kind of, I've gone off of it. I almost feel like he's like the Albert Speer of graphic arts.
I need a clarification on that, please.
He was a Nazi architect. He designed all the kind of monolithic Nazi.
Okay.
But that's what.
So you're saying Seth is like a Nazi.
No, I did not say that.
Mm,
what I
said
is
like what
all
you said.
All his covers look like giant.
Play the tape back, everybody. Is that what David said? Seth is like a Nazi.
No, I said he reminds me of Albert Speer's, like his designs, like these big monolithic. You know what I mean? Here's his book. It's about Nancy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So on the cover is this giant head.
She's riding an eagle.
Dude, just half of her head. So this is giant, like half a circle with her, you know, kind of well-known hair.
Right.
And then in giant letters that are kind of have a kind of gloss to them. It says Nancy and giant. This feels like it's just so big. And like there's that Doug, what's his name? I don't know him that well.
You gotta give me more information than that.
Seth loves this cartoonist. He's a Canadian cartoonist. He drew in like Saturday Night or whatever.
Okay.
He's his magazine illustrator.
I couldn't pull the name out of there.
And I can't remember his name either. I'm sorry. He's very famous back east. On the west coast, we had Norris.
Yes.
On the east or in the central part of Canada, they had this guy.
Right.
And they all love him there. But we don't know who he is. Over there, he's the cat's pajamas. Over here, he's the dog's breakfast. No, I don't know. He's really good.
Right.
But yeah, Seth designed
this
book
for him. You know, a cat's hat hate wearing pajamas. So when I see his son's cat's pajamas, one, unnecessary, and two, horrible to the cat.
Well, bees don't have knees, but things can be the bee's knees. But anyway, it just means they're exceptional.
Don't they?
I don't think so.
You
we have a listener to the
bees,
show.
Bees,
I don't know if he's a regular listener.
Gavin Pitts.
He is an entomologist.
Right.
And he could tell us.
I think he's an insectologist.
Yes. Gavin, if you're listening to this episode,
do
please
bees
let us know.
Do have
bees...
articulated legs?
No. Do they have knees?
Well, if they're articulated, they have the...
No. Because
what,
a knee is a particular
arms?
Bone.
Or are you saying it's an elbow? Yeah. It could be an elbow. You're going to call this an elbow instead of a knee?
Well, those are particular joints that are different than what animals might... I'm talking about a knee. It's bees' knees. It's
if
not bees'
you
elbow.
Have a leg and it's articulated, then that articulation
is
has
not...
to be a knee, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. Because the knee is a cap. Is the cap on the leg, right?
All right.
The knee joint.
Gavin, help us on this one.
Yeah,
all right, moving
us.
On.
Anyway, so...
Seth,
this
who is Nazi-like in his art.
This book, it's a giant book. It's like the size of... You can't put it on a shelf. Because
it's too big for any
human
shelf.
It's too big for any
human
shelf. And then it's got this glossy, glossy red cover.
Yeah.
It's just unappealing
well,
in
here's,
every way.
Here's my problem
it
with
it. Looks like a Christmas... It looks like it's wrapping paper, like glossy wrapping paper on a book.
He also did the Simpsons. He also did the Peanuts.
Can I make fun of you now for saying the Simpsons?
Sure, if you want.
You
want
to make fun of me every time I make a mistake.
Okay.
I'm not bitter.
All right, that's fine.
Go on.
You're
joking.
The silver medalist of bitterness.
I'm really bitter.
He did the Peanuts books and drew the Peanuts.
I like those ones.
Oh, well, okay. This is where I'm going with this. In the old-timey Peanuts style. Did very, very well. But I think like when he's getting to like the Nancy books, like here's the thing. If you like Peanuts or just lightly know about Peanuts, you'll see these and they will look like Peanuts to you. Yes. The book you're holding up right now that says Nancy, it's just so stylized that the only people to me that would appeal to would be people that already are on board with Nancy. You're getting no new readers with that.
Yeah.
You know, or if someone likes that cover, oh, this style looks good, open it up. Well there's nothing like that inside. Whereas the Peanuts look like the Peanuts inside.
Yeah.
So what you're selling is a nicer version, like the cover is even a nicer version of what you get inside. And that's what you want for, bringing
and
someone.
It's a good design. Like the Peanuts designs are really good. To me, these, and I'll put them up on the, I'll put them up on the Facebook page. To me, these are just too blocky and they don't, they're not antic. There's no sense of what's inside, like the
yeah.
the funny comics. These don't look like funny comics. They look like I don't know. They
just art books.
They look like art books. Or,
and you don't want your comics to be art. I say meh to that.
They look like woodworking books from the 1920s.
Okay.
Like, that's not, I mean, it's appealing to someone, I guess, but it's just weird. Like, I don't know. I just kind of, I've gone off.
It's appealing to someone who knows the original material and wants to see it altered and exaggerated and with this super design, and that's fine. But that's only then appealing to someone who's already 100% on board with Nancy.
And I love his designs for his own books, like the Northern Association of Canadian Cartoonists.
Clyde's fans. Wimbledon Green.
That's a great design. I love all those books. I love his Palookaville books. You know, when I bought the comic book, I still have the first issue of Palookaville, you know.
Me too.
No, I have your first issue.
No, you do not, because I was just going through my comics and I found it. So that is not true at all. Now, I want to get to something else, but I want to just do this first and then we'll get to a topic that I really would like to discuss. When you're talking about 13 going on 18,
yeah.
How many comic strips of the day did the moving along? Like, I know Gasoline Alley took place in real time.
Yeah.
Did other comic strips try to move continuity along back in the day? I guess there were soap opera strips.
There were soap opera strips.
Dick Tracy definitely did, because Dick Tracy characters got married.
Yeah. But Junior, I don't know if they aged, though, did they?
Well, I don't know if Junior aged when he married Mood Maiden or what have you. Yeah. But then they did the old, that never happened, forget it all, take it all back, retro. All a dream kind of business,
Bobby Ewing woke up. I thought I dreamed that Junior married the Moon Maiden. Moon Mullins? What's wrong?
Everything's wrong. Yeah, Dick Tracy, for those of you that don't know, took a turn for the alien kind of world.
Just cashing in on the whole moon landing.
Which, again, the spirit did as well. Yeah, I mean, the spirit went to the moon. Yeah. You know, who didn't go to the moon back then?
Drawn by Wallace Wood.
Yeah, very pretty.
Yeah, very, very nice,
pretty
yeah.
stuff. Now, okay, so we're out of that, and something I wanted to discuss with you.
Okay.
Now, speaking of your comics and your what have you, you had a bit of a water tragedy this week.
Oh, my God.
So
that was terrible. Holy crap.
You were apologizing for getting the title card in late, and then when I heard what happened, it was like, well, don't even apologize. Don't worry about it, brother.
Still a mess.
Okay, what happened?
Well, my shop / studio where I have my woodworking stuff and my art,
which people might remember from the video you've put up of the rainy day video.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
So it sits in British Columbia. It sits in Vancouver. We're right in a temperate rainforest, so it rains a lot here. And I hadn't gone out for a few days into the shop because I don't have a computer out there right now. So I really have no reason to go out there. It's hard to drag myself outside right now.
Right.
I just feel like there's no point. I can't get anything done. And I can't listen to anything. So, blah. So,
You don't have a radio like you do at work.
I do have a radio out there. But the problem is it's not very good. It's really quiet because it's the tuner's broken on it. So it's just a mess.
Oh.
But anyway, I was planning on throwing it out. And I forgot to. But my last dump trip. But so what happened was... I cut up the Christmas tree after Christmas. You know, I took the Christmas tree down. We took all the ornaments off, obviously. And I took it outside and I chopped it up and put it into our green recycling to get taken away. And so I guess all the sawdust washed down into where my steps to the shop, because it's lower in the ground than, it's not like a ground level. It's sunk down about 4 feet. So it went down the stairs and plugged up the drain.
Oh.
And so then we had this torrential downpour and the water rose up in the well, in the stairwell.
Yeah.
And then it went under the door.
Uh-huh.
And I had about 2 inches in the shop when I went in there at the back of the shop where all my comics and everything were. And the problem was I had a bit of a weird water pooling thing that happened. And I didn't know where it came from. And I had moved everything away from that area. So it was all out, away from it.
Right.
Only thing was, because it was such a monumentally huge flood, is it crept back up and actually soaked into a bunch of my comic boxes and stuff like that, all got wrecked as well.
Ugh.
So fortunately, a lot of it was stuff that I didn't care that much about.
Right.
It didn't get into my main collection of my quote-unquote valuable comics or comics that I value.
Now, are you a plastic bag fella, or are you...
A lot of them are in plastic bags, just because that's how I bought them in the day.
Right. That protects them a little bit.
That protected a lot of them. Because there were a few that were sitting on the in a box, and W to Z. So like all my Yummy First Cut, it got destroyed. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, they're all bagged, so they were fine in the box. So I just took them out of the box and put them into a different box and threw that box away. But like, what was terrible was like all your eyes mm-hmm. and squares and stuff like that. I had taken them out of their boxes because I was going to scan them for you.
Yeah.
And so they were sitting on this, and I guess it got knocked down somehow. I don't know, the Aww. Cat or someone jumping around. They got knocked down in between the boxes. So I didn't see them there until I moved these boxes, and there were all you and my rounders that I'd found.
Right.
All just soaked, destroyed. And so I took all of your eyes and I took them apart and I laid them out on the floor in the basement downstairs.
Aww.
Just so they'd dry.
Yeah.
And then, because I know you don't have a lot of those, you don't have a lot of your artwork yeah. and stuff anymore. So I just wanted to scan them for you so you had them, right? And so they're still scannable, which is good.
Oh, nice. How about your rounders?
The rounders are gone. The oh. comics are gone.
Okay, now wait a second. Now,
but also what got destroyed.
Well, let me just ask okay, with the
sure,
rounders.
Sure.
I have a copy of rounders if mm-hmm. you need one.
Okay.
All right. Do you have, no dry copies
I
of
don't
rounders?
Know. I'll have to look around.
Okay.
And see.
I've got one because I found one recently.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Just because I know we were thinking of giving one to Nina yeah. as part of her prize package.
That's right.
Well, we got to give her those prizes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, first we're like hacking her over like last week and calling her young and everything. Oh, we're being mean. And then, we don't give her her prizes. Yeah. Oh, we're bad people. Anyway, Anyway, I found one, so that's scannable okay, good, and doable. Good. Okay, please continue.
So, so then the other thing that happened was I had taken my own artwork down because of the other flooding from the roof that was happening earlier in the year. I had to empty all the stuff off of some shelves.
Yeah.
And I had put it down in this part, which never got wet before, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, this is the first major flood I've had in there. So a lot of this stuff is just like I'm reacting rather than being proactive. I'm reacting to this. And so this all got, yeah, this cardboard box with all my original art for rounders, it all got soaked in there. Fortunately, besides a little bit of the writing,
yeah.
which I guess I wasn't in a waterproof ink, because everything else was indie ink, so it's all water.
Okay.
The water won't wash it away. Some of I guess the writing I did must have been I'd done with a felt maybe that wasn't waterproof, and so that kind of got blurry a little bit on some of the lettering.
Right.
But other than that, it's fine. It's just, it's a bit wrinkly.
Okay, good. All right. That's a relief.
It's a bit wrinkly because I took that in the house too and I laid it all out and dried it as well. So yeah, it was pretty terrible. And so yeah, quite a bit of, I mean, there still was some, like a lot of destruction. I lost a whole collection of, I had a big collection of 70s home, like woodworking, like, or doing short, like little, what would you call it? Like kind of popular mechanics sort of right. style. But annuals, like was collecting together like things like build your own bookshelves or how to repair an engine boat and things like that, right? Or boat motor, I should say, and things like that. So, and those were all got ruined. So I had to throw those out. So yeah, it's really, really sucks. So
water.
Water's good. Just not in my shop, please.
Yeah.
And the problem is because my shop slopes towards where all the drawing things were, all the water went down that way. So fortunately, all the books are up at the front. So, because what I need to do is build some bookshelves in my shop, because I'm running out of shelf room in the house for books, to be honest. My bed looks like I should be asleep. We should just take our bed away, just put books on the floor and then put our mattresses on them. And that would be a better way to store our books than the way they're stored right now in our bedroom. But yeah, so I just need to clear out some stuff in there. So it's just been one of those things where you're like, when spring comes and it's dry and I can move some stuff out and move stuff around, then I will do this. But yeah, just...
Then the weather.
Life.
That damn weather. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear. Like, I was really worried when you said all this. Not for my stuff, but for, like, you know, rounders and what have you.
But I kind of said wrecked but not destroyed. You know, so it just kind of did its
can fix the lettering, like, via computers nowadays.
That's right. That's right.
Computers, David.
Exactly.
That's the future.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
So I'm going to do some plugs. Unless
sure,
you've got
sure.
more to talk about this show.
No. I have no idea what time it is. So.
We're about hour 15
really?
Coming up. Yeah.
Wow. That went Are fast.
Yeah, it did go fast. Time flies when you're talking about the Olympics. I'm going to tell you some shows I'm doing in the next little while.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were doing any shows.
What?
This is one of them sneaky
I
dragons?
Invite you to everything.
Okay.
Do you not get all my Facebook? I don't do that anymore. No. I can't do it. I feel terrible doing that. I'm doing this show called Rap Battles.
I just want to say, I'm going to take off my headphones now and just relax.
Sure, please do.
The show is over for me.
Sure, okay, fair enough. What Dave doesn't know is... No, anyway. I'm doing a thing called Rap Battles where you rap in character, and I'm going up against a young man named Dave Shumka.
Very
you
young
might
man.
Know him from As a, CBC Radio.
And most a very lucky man.
Why is he a very lucky man?
Because he almost was killed by a bullet.
That's true.
And ducked, and it left a crease in his head, but he's alive.
Right.
I think that's an amazing amazing narrow
that
escape.
That is an amazing narrow escape.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. He's the co-host of Stop Podcasting Yourself, and that venue that occurred at
is where
is where we're doing it.
Venue, we shouldn't do a show at a place called Crazy Magnet.
Yes, we shouldn't do that. Yeah. But it's a little mountain theater in Vancouver. So I didn't even think that we're doing it at the same venue where that occurred. But good for him returning to the scene of that.
Yes.
He will be. I will be rapping in the character of J. Jonah Jameson.
Okay.
Ralph Bakshi's version from the 60s.
Oh, that's the best version.
And he will be a 1960s beat poet spider called a Spider Man.
Okay.
So that's what he's doing.
Okay.
So it's two of us rapping. And I'm.
High concept.
Yeah. Ask me if I'm nervous about this.
Are you nervous about this?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I got to write 2 1-minute raps.
Yeah.
And memorize them.
Yeah.
And I got other stuff to do. So
we know that. You work for a living.
I do work for a living. Yeah. Here's the problem. I work for myself.
Yeah.
So my boss is always in the damn room. All right. Then on Tuesday, I'm doing a show called Minus World, which thanks to a listener for letting us know what that means.
Yeah.
Video game based improv. That's going to be at Café de Soleil in Vancouver. Because Minus World apparently is this glitch world in Super Mario, where it's an underwater world you get sent to where you swim forever and then just die because the timer runs out, which just sounds horrific. So that sounds horrific. So why not come to that show? Also doing the Critical Hit Show, our second anniversary. That's Wednesday, February 22nd at the Rio Theater.
And February 22nd? That's a Saturday.
26th.
You know why I know it?
February 26th.
The 22nd is my birthday.
What? Your birthday is February 22nd?
On this Saturday, yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that before?
Why?
I get you a cake or something.
Oh, okay.
Give you a birthday present. I don't know.
Sure.
Do something. Do something for you next week. You're telling me this so late. February 26th. Sorry, that's Critical Hit Show's second anniversary. And we're also going to be at GottaCon Saturday, March 1st. That's in Victoria. We're going to be doing the Critical Hit Show there as well.
Nice.
And Sneaky Dragon is going to be at various things throughout this year. We're going to be at Vancouver Fan Expo. We're going to be at VanCaf.
Yep.
We're going to be hovering around Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, officially there.
I got my passes this year.
Oh, did you get passes?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to be there.
I've got a hotel room booked.
Nice. Is it going to be a sexy hotel like last time?
It's going to be the same hotel as I
was. Oh, is it going to be the same one next last year? Oh, yeah. I love that hotel so much. Dave was at the W last
year. I like that hotel.
Yeah. It's a nice hotel, but it's a brown chick, brown cow.
It's not like that at all.
It's a sexy, sexy hotel. Nice.
Great.
You know what? If you're in Seattle, say at Emerald City, say hi to us and ask Dave to show you his sexy hotel room.
Sure, I will.
Yeah, you can just look
that's
in.
Not, that's
because
not
Dave's a,
complete, a
married man, so
I'm
you can just
man.
Look in from the door.
I do not like, I, yes.
Are you going
to
be...
We'll have to go as groups. We'll have to go as groups.
Are you going
to
be down the hall from the sexy shower? Sauna?
I don't know. Is there a sexy sauna?
It seemed like there was
I was down the hall from the... Oh, no. Maybe I was...
Oh, I thought it was... right, it was gym, but it was all steamed up.
I was down the hall from the gym.
Yeah.
Where they had free apples. That was nice.
Sexy apples. W Hotel.
It had a little serpent giving it to you in the gym.
And you're like, is there any catch to this? Nope. Okay.
Thanks. Boom, chicka, chicka, wow.
That was the name of the serpent.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we have to remind people of, David?
Well, something that we learned today is that you do not look at that stupid Facebook feature, upcoming birthdays.
Is there really an upcoming birthday feature?
Yeah.
I know there's one on the day which tells you all the people.
That's great. That's fine because then you know to say something to them. But having it like 3 days before, then you just worry, you just start thinking to yourself, oh, what should I say? What amusing little joke should I make?
Well, you should do the passive aggressive thing of like, you should go like, 3 days till my birthday.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting, and you just mentioned that something then casually, like, and then we go like, plan for that. But we did not.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dave's birthday is on now because you're going to be dropping
That's
this episode
right. this show comes
on your birthday.
On my birthday. I will be spending my birthday drawing a picture of a dragon at the Olympics.
Right. Unless, of course, you do that tonight. And get it out of the way.
Not going to happen.
Nope. That's true.
That would involve not procrastinating.
Fair enough. So you know what I think you should do, folks? You should go to sneakydragon.com and you should say something to Dave on his birthday.
Thank you.
Maybe a young person like Nina Matsumoto should Comment on what it's like, David being in his, what are you, like about 63.
Yeah.
You look fantastic.
A remarkably well-preserved 63, yes.
You still have most of your knees.
When you reach a certain age, you should just add a 10 years to your age so people are impressed by how good you look.
You know what? I always thought that's not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a good-looking guy. I had a guy come up to me yesterday who's this kind of famous photographer and mentioned to me that he was 71, and he looked amazing for 71.
Yeah.
Like stupidly good for 71.
Sure. He's actually 61.
Yeah, I was thinking like, oh, this would be good bullshitting if you're really faking it. Yeah. Anyway, go to sneakydragon.com and maybe say hi to Dave. Or you might go to our Facebook page, do the same thing. Or you might go to our Twitter, sneaky_dragon, and do the same thing.
Sure.
You know, those kind of things.
Or just whisper it under your breath during the day.
Yeah, just angrily under your breath. Just like,
grit your teeth.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Yeah.
Just mutter. just angry muttering.
Sure.
Yeah, Dave can hear that.
Yeah. My ears will burn.
Unless he's 30 feet in the air at work, then he can't, because that's his special space. Mm. The air's thin, and he just focuses on work.
Focuses on work. Not falling off.
Yeah, please don't fall off. Yeah. And Dave, keep your powder dry this week.
Sure.
Stay dry.
Thank you.
Everybody, stay dry. We're going to maybe have a little snow here in Vancouver. Always a bad idea for this city, but you know they've been threatening that for a while, so we'll see how things go.
Yeah, I've had snow on my birthday before.
Have you?
Yep.
Nice.
All right, not that nice, because we were supposed to go to a movie, then it snowed, so my parents decided that was not a good idea, so we stayed home and watched Sound of Music. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to Sneaky Dragon this week. We appreciate it, and we will see you next time, and I'll have lots of birthday stories.
Good stuff.
Not.
Oh, wow. That was tough, brother. I can't endorse that. I can't endorse the early 90s not. Can't do it. But I do endorse you.
You can come back.
I do endorse your birthday.
Thank you.
Happy pre-birthday. Well, today is your birthday when you're listening to this. So happy birthday today from me in the past to you in the present. And we'll hopefully see you all of you in the future next week on Sneaky Dragon.
Well, I'll hear your wish on my birthday when I'm editing the show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's nice.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, motherfucker. Say happy birthday now. Say happy birthday, motherfucker. Got happy birthday now. Say happy motherfucker. Gotta get some cake. Motherfucker, they were late getting good. The drunk got out of the print. Happy birthday, motherfucker, Dave Dedrick.